Praise the Lord. So I've been talking about winning in 2018. I really believe that God's bringing us into a year of winning. This year is a year of winning. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
That's good. It's a year of winning. And I spoke two Sundays ago about the vision of the church. The vision of the church is very simple, and it's this. It is to preach the gospel and to make disciples of Jesus. Is that easy enough? To preach the gospel and to make disciples of Jesus. How? By loving Jesus, by having a passion for Jesus, and being passionate about the things that Jesus was passionate about. And what was Jesus passionate about? The kingdom of God. That's why he came. That was his passion. And another reason that God's put us here is to serve the community. We are here to bless people, our neighborhood. And I said that passion is something that I can't force it. I can talk about it, but it's something that you have to do. Passion has to be caught, and you have to get that passion in you. As much as you get a passion to do whatever hobby or whatever athletic feat or whatever, you know, thing that you want to conquer something, have a goal in life, and you want to reach that goal, you got to have passion. You got to have something in you that rises up when the chips are down, when the odds are against you, when challenges come up against you. It's a passion that get up and go attitude that takes you there, that gets you to your destination. How many know that those who have done various things in life have had a commitment, a passion, a zeal, an enthusiasm? There's something in them that has got them to get up. I'm not giving up. I'm going forward. And that's the kind of thing that God is looking for with us in 2018. A passion for God and a passion for the things that Jesus is passionate about should cause us to come here with that zeal and that enthusiasm and that vibrancy to say, God, I'm here for you and I'm ready. Whatever it takes, I am ready to press on. So I looked at the text from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Let's look at that text again. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And it's interesting that if you read the preceding chapter, you will see in that chapter that those who lived before us, our predecessors, our ancestors, they were waiting for this time that you and I have today. They so wished that they had this experience that you and I can have today. And if you look at that, you'll see that that the pioneers, those who went before us, they subdued kingdoms, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched violence, they escaped the edge of the sword, and so you see so many things that they did in faith, believing God. And then that's why it says in chapter 12, it says, therefore, which means there's a continuation of that which has happened before. So therefore, it says, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. In the message, it says it's a huge cloud of witnesses is all around us. All those pioneers have gone before us, done amazing things for God. There are witnesses all around us, pioneers of the faith, the veterans. What are they doing? They're cheering us on. They're saying, come on, you can do it. And so the scripture says, so let us throw off, or let us strip off. In other words, take. Don't worry, I'm not going to strip here. But just to demonstrate, let's take off those things that so easily ensnare us, entangle us. And let us run the race marked for out for us. Look at the scripture there. The race marked out for us. It's not a race that we run anywhere and everywhere. It's a race that has been marked. And that tells us that there is a path. There is a race that God has commissioned us to run. Can you see that? It's not just running aimlessly. It's running towards the goal. It's running towards, and that goal is, it says there in the same scripture, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, or the author and the perfecter of our faith. So you can see very clearly that the running is there for every one of us. We are there to run. The course has been marked out for us. The goal is Jesus. Can you see it? It's not running here, there, and everywhere. It's running in the course that God has called you to run. Now, that course can be different for each and every one of us. It's different for me. It's different for some of you. And God takes you on that path. Nevertheless, we are still running. And so long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will achieve the goal. We will get to where God wants us to be. Our eyes have to be kept on Jesus. And last week I focused on this one thing, that the first thing that we got to understand is that we have to keep looking unto Jesus. We got to keep looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We cannot look to the right. We cannot look to the right or to the left. We got to keep looking at Jesus. We cannot look at other human beings. We cannot look at great preachers or those who have, you know, who have amazing ministries. Thank God for them. We got to keep looking at Jesus. Why do I say that? Because man can fail, but God never fails. Many people get disgruntled and discouraged and disheartened. Why? Because they're following a man. They're following a man's gift. Now, God gives gifts according to how he wants and how he wills. And God does not, thank God, he doesn't remove the gift just because somebody slips or falls away. But if we keep our trust and focus on man, when man falls, what happens? We get discouraged. But when we keep our focus on Jesus, man might fall away, but our focus is still on Jesus. Why? Because he's the one who gives the gift. He's the one who can change your circumstances, who can change your situation. Not the person, but Jesus. Can you see that? So let's not focus on man. Let's focus on Jesus, because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So the second one that I want to talk to you about today is, the first one was looking unto Jesus. The second one is having a right mental attitude. And if you remember the last 2 weeks ago, I was looking at an athlete. And when you look at an athlete trains. An athlete gets fit. He gets into shape. An athlete will never run with baggage on him or with clothes on him or a backpack. That's the one. A backpack on him. An athlete will always run with minimal clothing. Why? Because he doesn't want all that weight. He doesn't want to get slowed down. He's got a race to win. And he wants to get there. His goal is to win. And similarly, to win, we got to have the right attitude. Our mental attitude has to be a winning attitude. How many know that we cannot get something or do something unless we have already perceived it in our minds? And our minds, then what happens? Our minds tell our bodies to say, okay, if that is what you want, then you got to shape up. Then you got to get fit. Then you got to go to the gym. Then you got to go and do a bit of training. It's the mind that informs the body. And so when you get your mind sorted and your mind in the right attitude, then your body will follow. Everything starts up here. And that's why the Bible talks about the mind so much. In Romans chapter 12, talks about the mind, renewing of the mind. Why? Because if your mind ain't renewed, your body will not get anywhere. It'll get sick. It's the renewing of your mind that keeps your body alive, keeps your body functioning. It starts up here. And people who are involved in motivational talks and who really work with people, what do? They change your thinking. They help you to change your thinking. Because when your thinking changes, your body follows. That's the power of the mind. And so even in this race that Jesus has called us to win, our mindset has to be that of a winning mindset. Paul said this in Philippians 3 and verses 10 to and 11. He says this, I want to know Christ better. What was his mental attitude? I want to know Christ better. Yes, I want to know the power that raised him from the dead. I want to join him in his sufferings. Now, that part many of us don't like. But Paul said, I want to join him in his sufferings. I want to become like him by sharing in his death. Oh, that was Paul's desire. That was his mental attitude. I want to be more like Jesus. Then it says in verse 11, then by God's grace, I will rise from the dead. See, if I have this attitude in me, that's what Paul is saying, by God's grace, I will rise up to it. When we have a winning attitude, if we can tell ourselves and say, Jesus, I know, Lord, that this year I'm going to win. But you know, you have to do something with winning. You've got to get trained up. You've got to get in shape. You've got to get a bit of discipline. I think Bob last Sunday, he covered some of these aspects. It doesn't just happen. How many know that? Athletes don't just happen. They train. Something's got to get a hold of us, or we got to get a hold of ourselves that this year, if this year is our winning year, then what we do has to come from a winning attitude. So our thoughts have to align itself to the Word of God. Our language has to align itself to the Word of God. What we declare has to align itself with the Word of God. How many of you know of self-fulfilling prophecies? When we speak, we carry weight in our words. Our words carry power. And that is why we need to be careful of what we speak and what we say to people. Because with our words, we can hurt, we can destroy somebody. But if we are careful with our words, and if our words are seasoned with love, with life, then what comes out of it is life. And it encourages and builds somebody up. And so we got to discipline ourselves mentally and physically in order to win in 2018. Can you see that? So we are here as those who are partakers with you to encourage you on this journey, to encourage you on this race. The challenges will come. How many know that? The challenges will come. There's no race without a challenge. There's no walk or journey without a challenge. They will come. But it's the attitude that you have, the mindset that you have, that will enable you to overcome those challenges. And that's what we are here for. We are here to teach the Word of God, to encourage you with the Word of God, to build the Word of God into you. So that when the challenges come, the Word of God arises and you begin to speak into that challenge, into that situation, and you can overcome it in the name of Jesus. That's the power of the Word of God that we have. Amen? You can say amen to that. Paul did not run aimlessly. He knew what the goal was. which determine his mental attitude. And we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26. He said this. He said, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. So he says, hey, look, I don't know about you, but I know where I'm going. And I'm running hard. I'm training hard. I want to get to my goal. I have a goal, and I'm getting to my goal. I'm not allowing you to stop me from getting to my goal. I want you to pause there for a moment. Because often in life, if we are not careful, we will allow others to stop us achieving our goal. And I know of many people who have that has happened because they have been dependent on somebody else. Their direction and their influence hasn't come from the Word of God. It's come from somebody else. But when we have a winning attitude, a winning mindset, so long as we are taking what is in the Word of God and applying that in our lives, we won't allow somebody else to come in and destroy or take away that walk with Jesus. We will still keep running. We will still keep our focus, and we will still reach our goal. Don't let third-party influences stop you from achieving what God has for you. Don't let third-party influences stop you from achieving what God has for you. We cannot go on somebody else's salvation. I know sometimes we try to ride along. You can't do it. You got to decide for yourself. Your relationship with God is the one that matters. That's the thing that has to be kept right before God. Because God looks for obedience, not just sacrifice, not just works, but for obedience. And when we are obedient to the Word of God, God blesses. He blesses the obedient, His obedient children. He says, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. Can you see that? No sloppiness. I'm staying alert. I'm giving everything I've got. I'm not going to get caught napping or sleeping. Telling everyone else all about it and then missing out myself. Paul is very clear. He's got it in his sights. He says, I'm not allowing anything else or anyone else. And I'm not going to be telling others and then miss the mark myself. Because sometimes we can tell others how to do it and then we miss it. But we need to know how to tell others how to do it, and at the same time, we do it the way that God wants us to do things. So we are an example and a witness to Him. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3. And verse 12, he said this, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. What is Paul saying? I've not got it all together yet. I'm not perfect. I haven't made it. But I'm well on my way. I'm reaching out for Christ, who has so wonderfully reached out to me. Because God has reached out to us, we can reach out for Christ. Our mental attitude needs to be, I am reaching out. I am pressing on. I am pushing through. Let me give you some scriptures that you can take with you, that can encourage you, to give you a winning attitude. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. It says this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What does it say? Seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated It says here, set your minds on things above, not on earthly stuff. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly stuff. What is that telling us? Oftentimes we get worried and wearied about stuff that is going on in our level. And what Paul there is encouraging the Colossians to is, look, don't look at the things that are around you. Don't focus, don't stay in that plane, because that cannot help you. It cannot take you anywhere. Keep your mind on God. Set your mind, set your focus on God. Set your mind on God's word. Even when the things don't look fine, take the word of God and say, right, these things don't look good, but I'm going to speak the goodness of God into my situation. And sometimes it takes absolute faith to speak the word of God into your situation that's going bad. And when you do that, something in you arises. The Spirit of God in you will arise. And you will get the confidence and the faith to say, right, I'm not going at this level. I'm looking to Jesus. I'm moving on from here. I'm not staying in this pity party. I don't want it. It's not part of me. I'm moving on. What am I trying to build here? A winning attitude. We've got to get tough if you want to win. How many know that? You've got to get tough if you want to win. Ephesians, another scripture. Ephesians 4:22 to 24. It says, throw off your sinful, old sinful nature. Throw it off. Your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 23 says this, instead, in place of that, let the Spirit renew what? Your thoughts and attitude. Is that what it says? Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Why is that so important? I mentioned earlier, if your thoughts and your attitudes ain't renewed, your body is not going to be renewed either. And your walk with the Lord is not going to get better until the Spirit of God renews our mind and our attitude. So that's what it says, throw off the old stuff. Throw off the sinful stuff. It says in verse 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Truly righteous and holy. True righteousness and true holiness is not looking pious or looking religious or saying a few prayers or putting on, I don't know, you know, priestly robes or whatever. That's not holiness. That is not righteousness. When we were in Israel, we saw many people. They go to the tomb of Jesus, where Jesus was buried, the place where he was embalmed and his body was wrapped, the place where Golgotha, where he was crucified. Now there are churches built in all these places, and they're made altars. What people do is they go and they touch all these altars, and they're kissing all these altars, and doing everything, whatever they think and feel, that somehow Jesus is in all of these things. And that's what saddened me when I saw people, stooping into kissing these dead things there in the hope and belief that somehow there's some power. Somehow thinking that these things will bring holiness, will make them righteous. But we know, according to Scripture, God detests any sort of idolatry. We know from the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have any false gods, any idol, any graven, carved out image. Shall not bow down to anything else. Paul says here, put on your new nature. How does a new nature come? When we ask Jesus to come into our lives. The only person who can change our nature, change our lives, is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he died on the cross for you and for me. He shed his blood. Once we have this new nature in us, old things are passed away. All things become new. Now, sometimes we can still go back to the old stuff. If we want to, we can. But the Bible says when we receive Jesus, the old has gone, the new has come. And how does the new come and how does it stay? What does it do in us? We got to cherish the new. We got to embrace the new. We got to put ourselves and discipline ourselves to somehow read the Word of God, nourish our lives with the Word of God, set our minds on things, not on this earth, but set our minds on the things of the Spirit of God. Because that which will keep us in righteousness, in true holiness before God. Sin and holiness don't mix. And sadly, sometimes we think we can mess around in the world and then somehow, you know, also honor God at the same time. The two cannot mix. I always ask myself this question. Wherever I am, is God glorified in what I'm doing? Is God glorified where I am? Is God glorified? And if the answer is no, then I got to leave. I got to move out of it because that is not of righteousness. Very simple test. And so we got to get ourselves in a place if we are to win in 2018. This is why I am so passionate about this, that we have got to get this into our spirit. Because it doesn't happen, que sera, sera, whatever will be is a nice song. But it ain't the truth. When we are walking according to the Word of God will cause us to walk in His ways. And in that case, whatever God has promised in His Word will come to pass. But if we are not walking according to the Word of God, then we can't expect the things of God to come to pass. It's a bit like this. When our children are at home, they're still our children. They enjoy the benefits of the home. If you have a pizza for dinner, for example, and if all three children or four of them are at home, they enjoy the pizza. But if two of them are away, like two of them are in university now, if we now order a nice Chinese takeaway, they still have our children, but they cannot enjoy the Chinese takeaway because they are not with us. Similarly, when we are with God, often what happens, we are sort of far away, a bit away from God, and we still want to enjoy the blessings of God, but we are not at His table. Can you see that? We are sort of out here, but we still want what's on His table. But in order to enjoy what's on God's table, we got to be at His table. We got to be at His feet. We got to be where He wants us to be. We cannot enjoy those lovely things whilst we're out here. When we're out here, we are open to the enemy. Similarly, when our children are out there, they are open to anything can happen to them. But when they are in the home, there is protection. We are there around them. We can see what they're doing. We can advise them. We can show them the right thing. But out there, they're on their own. Can you see that? Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. I hope you're getting something here this morning. Let's look at Romans 8 and verse 6. It says, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Wow. Is that scripture up? Romans 8 and verse 6. It says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. I cannot get easier than that. It's pretty straightforward. Sinful nature controls your mind. Ultimate goal is death. But, I like the word but in the Bible. It says, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Hallelujah. Allowing the Holy Spirit to control your mind leads you into life and peace. How many want life and how many want peace? Then we got to allow the Spirit of God to control our mind, to renew our mind. We have the Holy Spirit who is our friend, our enabler, who helps us to walk in victory. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot walk this walk. You can have a good talk, but you cannot walk. You need the Holy Spirit of God. Let's be determined this year that we will run, not just run aimlessly, but we will run with the goal in sight, looking unto Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, tuning our minds to the Spirit of God, allowing the Spirit of God to renew our minds every day. Because why every day? Because we are bombarded with stuff every day. So our minds have to be renewed every day that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That we won't allow any other text or any other stuff to influence our walk with Jesus. But we'll only allow the Holy Spirit of God to enlighten His Word in our lives and in our hearts. That when we are faced with a challenge or a situation, what comes up is the Word of God. What comes up is a scripture that we can declare and tell the enemy to take a hike and say, my God, I know my God. I know my God is for me. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Just close with this word right now. Jesus loves you. He loves us. He loves us. Tell your neighbor that. You know, we take things for granted, but Jesus genuinely loves us. He does. You know, we were looking at the Palestinian Christians. Jerusalem is divided into four sections. You have the Jewish quarter, the Arabic quarter, the Palestinian quarter, and there's one more quarter which I've forgotten. Christian quarter. Four quarters. And if you speak to the Christian, the Arabs who are Christian or Palestinian, you know, they are proud to be called Christians. They are. And they said, some of them told us, we won't leave this land because we are Christians. We want Christianity to grow in this nation. That's amazing, isn't it? They could leave. Many have left. Many have left because of all the constant trouble. But there are people there who are telling us, please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now I understand, we understand why we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because of the division. Centuries of hatred that's been going on. That's why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's why we have to pray for the Christians who are in this country, who are standing up for Jesus against all the Judaism that's around them. They're standing up for Jesus. It's not easy for them to stand up for Jesus. It's easy for them to turn around and become a Jew. They say, no, we're standing for Jesus. Jesus loves you. You know why they do that? Because they have experienced the love of Jesus. They have. Otherwise, why should they do it if they haven't? If they believe that Jesus is a figment of their imagination, why would they want to do it? It's easier to leave the land, to go somewhere else, emigrate somewhere else. But they know and they love Jesus. He loves you today. He desires to have a relationship with you. Jesus wants to give us joy to the full, life abundantly, joy to the full. He's the only one who can change our past and bring us into the newness of life. It's only Jesus. His love for us never fails, it never runs out, it never gives up on us. That's who Jesus is. Jesus has a great future for you and for me. Something that dawned on us is there in Israel, these Palestinians, they have a hope. They have a hope. In their conversations, you can pick up that hope. They have a hope that God will unite them. God will bring peace to that nation. And every time on our coach, we had our guide, who was a Palestinian Christian. He knows the Bible. Because he related every place to the scripture. I was going, wow. This guy knows his Bible. And he always said so many times, please pray for us. Please pray for us. And I want us here to remember Jerusalem, to remember the Palestinians, to remember the Jews, that God will save them, that God will unite them. Only God can do it. We know nations are trying to do it. Governments are trying to do it. Outside influences are trying to do it. But they're not successful. They're not succeeding. Only God can. The question is this: how desperately do we want to know Jesus? Are we willing to do what Jesus has said in his word? Are we willing to say, God, I'm a winner. I want to win this year. I'm going to discipline my life. I'm going to put things in order. I'm going to get rid of stuff that I don't need. I'm going to rid of all the rubbish in my life. And I'm going to focus on running this race, looking unto you, Jesus. I'm going to change my mindset. I'm going to take off all that negative, ungodly stuff in my mind. And I'm going to fill it with things of the Spirit. I'm going to renew my mind every day. I'm going to feed my mind with the Word of God. I'm going to surround myself with people who know Jesus. I'm going to surround myself with godliness, with people who know God. See, sometimes our friends can be distracting. And oftentimes, I say this to people, the moment you come out of darkness into light, sometimes you got to give up the friends who are still groping around and trying to pull you back into the things of darkness. Sometimes you have to cut them off. Because now you're in the light. And now you've got to surround yourselves with people who are in the light. Because you don't want to go back into the things of the dark. That's not easy. But sometimes you have to do it. You can pray this prayer together. For anyone who really wants to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Who wants to win. You can say, Dear Lord Jesus, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Those things that have hurt you, that have caused you pain. God, I ask you to forgive me. I thank you for the cross. Thank you for shedding your blood. I thank you that you rose again for me. God, come into my life. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, come, live in me, in Jesus' name, amen.